The big question in business, what can $4 billion worth of budget cuts buy Uncle Sam?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Congress may use a short-term funding bill to keep the government open through mid-March. And in the meantime, Congress will work on a larger budget bill. So the answer to our big question might be pretty simple, that $4 billion will buy time. But there's something much more complex behind the deal. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
This latest stopgap bill would cut $4 billion, mainly from programs that President Obama has already proposed cutting, including a reading program and state election funding. The short-term bill would also eliminate almost $3 billion in earmarks, those spending requests for special projects in congressional districts. Republicans and Democrats are still wrangling over spending. House Speaker John Boehner says the spending squabble doesn't have to cause a government shutdown.
We have a moral responsibility to address the problems that we face. And that means working together to cut spending and to rein in government, not shutting it down.
Congress never did manage to hammer out a budget bill for this year. The two-week stopgap bill would allow more negotiations on a spending measure to fund the government through September 30th, the end of the government's budget year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Libya's leader Muammar Gaddafi continues hanging on to power as unrest goes on now for a third week. And after the UN Security Council passed a resolution over the weekend ordering an arms embargo and freezing Gaddafi's assets. In Egypt today, the top prosecutor ordered the assets of that country's ousted president, Hosni Mubarak, to also be frozen. You could say Egypt was Libya 1 month ago. And the unrest in Egypt sent hundreds of thousands of tourists away from that country, which has taken a mighty toll on the streets. From Cairo, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
An old man in long robes and a turban plays the rabab, a little Egyptian stringed instrument. He hawks the rababs to tourists on a bridge over the Nile. But he's got no audience, and the commercial odds are against him. Way more sellers than buyers. Eric Bonmasson is a 22-year-old architecture student visiting from France. A few days ago, he went to the Great Pyramids at Giza.
We were nearly the only tourists, so we had all the pyramids for ourselves.
Magda Candle of the Egyptian Center for Economic Studies says without much oil and with 7,000 years of history to market, Egypt is uniquely dependent on tourist dollars, not to mention euros and yen. They support 5 million jobs, 20% of the economy. Candle says the tourism sector needs stability and for the tanks to come off the streets. Problem is, with Libya next door, this is an increasingly tough tourism neighborhood.
The biggest effect of the crisis on Egypt from an economic point of view is the loss of tourism income, which is estimated over $1 billion a year.
Egyptians are working hard to lure tourists back.
They're going to view this, I don't want to be on a plane crossing the Atlantic or crossing the Mediterranean to go to Egypt.
A group of young people who participated in the revolution decided to print their own ID cards and stamp them National Museum Youth. Now they're painting the cast iron grillwork outside the Egyptian Museum.
We paint gates and pavements and we sweep the floors and the ground.
Why are you painting here?
To make our museum beautiful and regain its rank among people again.
And at last Friday's rally in Tahrir Square, as people sang the national anthem, a man held a sign reading, "Tourism, now better. Come to Egypt. World spot amended." The English isn't great, but the sentiment's clear. This is a new Egypt. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are mostly higher at the moment, under 0.5%. Consumer spending was up slightly last month, but that was before gas prices shot up like a rocket. The price of oil is up about $1 today in trading, and gas prices are up to an average of $3.29 a gallon. This is the cheaper time of year for gas, too. Wall Street Friday, the Dow rose 0.5%, 61 points to close at 12,130.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com.
City leaders in New York City say the Big Apple needs to get more money in its coffers, just as budget stalemates and crises continue in other cities and states. Think Wisconsin. Think Detroit. Well, New York's thinking about parking meters and sewage to put back the bulge in its purse. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Last year, New York took in more than $140 million from parking meters like this one. Now the city is looking to partner with private companies to figure out how to earn more money from meters, parking garages, and other services. To plug its $5 billion budget gap, New York is also trying to find a fertilizer company to buy its sewage. Kent Smetters is a municipal budget expert at the Wharton School. He says these are the right approaches.
Trying to partner with private sector in order to improve operations, reduce costs. That's a true economic efficiency. That's a win-win for both sides.
For instance, New York parking meters don't work about 10% of the time. Fixing that could bring in a lot of quarters. Smetter says it's a better tactic than what a lot of cities are trying, selling municipal buildings and other assets for a quick chunk of money. Chicago leased out the next 75 years' worth of parking meter revenues for $1 billion and will end up sacrificing an estimated $10 billion in revenue in the long run. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, it's Girl Scout cookie season again. But this year, there's one place in Savannah, Georgia, you won't be able to buy your do-si-dos: on the street. The city last year put the kibosh on selling cookies on public sidewalks because that would violate a selling things on sidewalks ordinance. And that ordinance includes the sidewalk in front of the historic Juliette Lowe House in Savannah. Who is Juliette Lowe? Well, she was the founder of the Girl Scouts. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
5 years ago, Arizona was doing pretty well. The state budget was up and so was spending, but you know what they say.
State policymakers sometimes forget to realize that the economy goes up and down. When you're at the bottom of a deep hole, you need a ladder to climb out.
I'm Kai Rizdal. How the recession buried Arizona's budget. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.